Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Maybe Candlestick Park history, or Kaepernick went crazy and had one of the best playoff games for a quarterback in NFL history. You don't think the Packers remember this stuff and Aaron Rodgers remembers this? This is big time on Saturday night, and we're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up for sure.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers looking to go back to the NFC Championship game again with LaFleur. Like, they've been knocking on this door, what feels like every year LaFleur's been there. 19, 20, would be 21 again. Like, they've had unbelievable regular seasons, and they're another team that, for whatever reason, we don't consider them to be a physical team, even though I think this year they've kind of debunked that with Dylan running and obviously 33's been hurt, Aaron Jones, but their defense was humming early on this year. Let me ask you this one. Of all the quarterbacks left, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is the one with the lowest Q rating when it comes to overall fan perception.
It's not even close.
Tannehill,
it's really not even close. Tannehill, I think a lot of more people give Tannehill love because he can run around a little bit.
Yeah, and he looked really good in that fourth quarter against the Niners.
He did, and AJ Brown and Julio Jones makes his job a lot easier. But Tannehill has a nice job. Because Derrick Henry, he could head it off to him. Mm-hmm. He could throw it to Julio. He could throw it to A.J. Brown. Because they were kind of like limping. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, they won a lot of football games.
They're vulnerable.
Credit to them for winning home field advantage. But they were scraping by. They were winning some ugly, ugly football games. Heck, even week 18, the Texans came back. And the Titans had to survive in that football game down in Houston. So, but there's no doubt. If you took one of the eight quarterbacks and said, which one you got to cut? It's cutting Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Well, and I think that's a testament to coaching. Like, as we sit here today, like, quarterback matters. I think we all understand that. It matters in this sport now more than ever. Can you overcome? Can you be the Titans and have a quarterback who's on some days really good, on some days mediocre? Yeah, of course you can, right? But it's really hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I just sit here today and I'm saying the Rams swung the deal for Matt Stafford. The 49ers didn't swing that deal. They took Trey Lance. They kept Jimmy Garoppolo. And they're both in the same spot. They're both in the same spot. I think it's a testament to the organization of the 49ers that they stuck with their guns. They could have panicked. I panicked 50 times throughout the year. They didn't. They've won big-time games, organizational wins that they can look back on and be like, remember that game against the Rams week 18. Remember what we did against Dallas. Like, they're putting together a battle-tested unit right now, and I just feel really good about where this organization is. They got the right coach. They got the right GM in place. They're not going to bat 1,000, but they've been doing some damn good things, B.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and AC1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Do we still have Antonio on the line? My bad, I almost forgot about Antonio. Is he still there? Antonio gone? Oh, let's go to Antonio then.
Hey, what's
Antonio
up,
in Oakland, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Oh, man, everybody's critiquing Jimmy Garoppolo so much, man. It's almost like the Niner fans are the New York media. It's like, man, and I think we can win 23-20 just like the last time we won at Lambeau in the playoffs. It's going to be an ugly game like that, and I believe in Jimmy. You know, all I want is to win the game, man. Like Al Davis said, just win, baby. Stop with the critique and stop with the crying, man. We're going on to the next round. We're going to shred more cheese, whether it's Monterey Jack cheese or Green Bay cheese. It don't even matter, man. We're going to shred that cheese. You bet your believe it.
So what's interesting, Antonio, good call. What's interesting, B, is if you'd asked me this question at the beginning of the year, you know, what's Jimmy Garoppolo's trade value? How many teams would want Jimmy Garoppolo at the beginning of the year? I'd be like, I don't know, maybe a second rounder, maybe a third rounder, maybe a combination of two picks, a third and a fifth. I don't know. As the season progressed, I was like, oh, man, you're not getting anything more than a third rounder. I mean, then I was like, you might not even get a fourth and a fifth for Jimmy Garoppolo. As we sit here today, doesn't it feel like the way they've played this thing, like whether they roll him back next year, whether they make a trade for him, his value is in a weird way higher than 2019 coming off the Super Bowl?
It is because of his toughness. It is because of his toughness. But what if he wins another game? What if Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers go out to Lambeau Field and win? We're not talking about trading him. There's going to be a segment of the fan base who say,
there already is.
Keep
already
him.
Is. There already is.
Keep him. Exactly. Yeah.
There
keep
already
him.
Is.
Trey's not ready. Stick with Jimmy. He's proven that he can play in playoff games. He's proven that he doesn't get overwhelmed in playoff games. Now you can make the argument, did he get overwhelmed in the fourth quarter against the Dallas Cowboys? Yeah. Yeah. Didn't look good. But didn't look good at all. Did he get overwhelmed in the Super Bowl? Well, part of that was your offensive line broke down. You know, nobody ever talks about that in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54 against Kansas City. If your offensive line breaks down, even Patrick Mahomes is going to look mediocre. How did Patrick Mahomes look in the Super Bowl last year against Tampa Bay? He looked awful. Why? Because your offensive line broke down. You got to have good line play. And if anything, with this 49ers team, their offensive line is playing as well as they have in the Shanahan tenure. Alex Mack is playing good football.
Tom Compton.
Thomas is playing good football. Tom Compton. Whenever we don't say his name, that is a good thing. And then you got Trent Williams on the left side.
I'm telling you right now, the reality is this. I know everybody likes Mike McGlinchey as a person. I'm not paying him $10 million next year to play right tackle when I've seen Tom Compton. What's Tom Compton making? 800 grand? What's he making?
Yeah,
maybe a million bucks? Look at the production I'm getting at right tackle, and look at the price point. I know we lose our minds about Jimmy Garoppolo's price point. I'd rather pay Jimmy Garoppolo the $25 million than Mike McGlinchey the $10 million to play right tackle. I'll tell you that.
Tom Compton's
been great.
Playing well. Yeah, we don't remember Mike McGlinchey at all.
And I'm not knocking Mike while he's down. I'm telling you the reality of, like, if we're going to do this financial thing with Jimmy Garoppolo, like, oh, my God, he makes too much money. Do the same thing at right tackle.
No doubt. No doubt at all. No doubt at all. Niners win over the Cowboys in thrilling fashion, 23-17 on Sunday. They're heading to Lambeau Field to take on that Green Bay Packers in what should be a 7-degree game. It's going to be snow flurries. Rodgers, Devontae Adams, that defense in Green Bay, Aaron Jones against the 49ers. And good news on Garoppolo, apparently he's in a great, great spot. Great, great spot right now. Or not Garoppolo, Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa's in a great spot coming off the concussion. It looks, you know, we'll see.
Did you see replays?
Safety protocols, but of the Nick Bosa play?
In the stadium.
Watching over and over.
No, but in the stadium, did they show it on the big screen?
They showed it once on a big screen. Once.
Those are the kind of injuries.
Actually, you know what? They did not show it. I saw the replay on Twitter.
Okay.
Because
okay.
You know what? One thing about Jerry's World, their replay system, not the best.
Yeah.
Not the best. You know, Levi's Stadium usually replays every single play.
Yeah, at least once.
Dallas doesn't do that.
Really?
Dallas doesn't do that at all. No,
they don't do,
they'll
the
do
Kodak
it for their
4K.
Good plays. Yeah, they'll do it for their good plays, their big plays.
Yeah.
But a lot of Niner plays, they did not replay at all.
Well, that bugs me because that the in-home experience is great because of all the replays and the nuance and stuff. You have to replicate some of the things that make it great from your couch when you're spending all that money to go to the stadium. And my point on the Bosa thing was, I mean, that's how Dennis Byrd went paralyzed. Like, those are the kind of injuries, accidental. And you saw Michael Parsons get laid out on the same thing by his own teammate.
Right.
Those kinds of injuries, I thought – he could have broke his neck. He could have broke a bone. They are so lucky it's just a concussion. And I'm not trying to diminish concussions. We know how severe they are. I'm just saying, on the scale of things that I was worried about, I thought his season was over. Like, so they're very lucky. They dodged a big-time bullet on Nick Bosa just having a concussion. And I'm not diminishing concussions. I'm just saying, like, I thought it was a much more severe injury.
Yeah, you freak out quickly with injury.
Bro, he's on the ground. He got hit in the neck and the shoulder.
I know, but he could have been shaken up, wind knocked out of him. I get it. It was all good. Fred Warner also said he's pretty good here. We'll monitor his ankle because the Niners, you know, Fred Warner, he wears a green dot helmet. He's calling all the defense. If he can't go, it'd be Dre Greenlaw and Al Shire. So Al Shire is making plays. Dre Greenlaw is making plays. Look, Fred Warner, I do want to see him out there, but I get less concerned about Fred Warner because of how good Greenlaw and Al Shire has been playing for the 49ers. But you do need Fred Warner, though, in this one against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Let's go to Larry. Larry in the city, what's happening? You're on the Morning Rose here on 95.7 The Game.
You guys, man, I was so jacked up watching that game, and I gotta say this: all year long, all I did is hear about, especially from that beat writer Grant Cohn, dude. That dude is a joker, man. He should stop reporting for the Raiders and the Niners and go report for the Seahawks or something. That dude's a joke, man. Ambry Thomas, he showed up. Bosa showed up. Fred Warner showed up. Hey, no matter what anybody says, Jimmy G did Jimmy G things. He went out there. They gave us a lead. Yeah, he had a hard time in the second half. But, heck, that defense is for real for Dallas. But they play, too. But I got to say this. No matter what anybody says, how does that trading two first rounds for Trey Lance look now? Man, you got if we lose the next game, you're going to get the 24th pick so we can get Trey Lance. You know?
It's not that bad.
I look at it like this. Bring on Green Bay. Hey, Shasky, don't hate on this, man. Don't hate on what I'm saying. You guys can keep your Trey Lance in a bubble for now. Because Trey Lance would look just like Jalen Hurts last week. He would have been out there running around, or he would look like Kyler Murray. You know? You can't play in the playoffs. You can't play in the playoffs with negative 3 yards or 3 minutes left in the second half. You know, and I'm sorry, man. Trey Lance, I know you guys are all jacked up on him. He ain't ready to play. I saw that. I rewatched that game, even in the Houston game. That sorry defense in Houston. I watched the dude. He couldn't move the ball. He had like 7 minutes of good football. You know? I mean.
All right, Larry. By the way, does this mean anything to anybody out there? Highest winning percentage since 2016. Highest winning percentage since 2016. Patrick Mahomes, 79.2%. Tom Brady, number two, 78.8%. Lamar Jackson, number three, 71.7%. Number four, Jimmy Garoppolo, 70.6%. Does that mean anything to you or anybody out there?
I mean, yeah, Jimmy's a winner. Like, I mean, I know we just throw that flippantly around, like, Tebow's a winner. But, like, Jimmy wins games, you know? That doesn't mean he's infallible. I do think there's a difference between the other quarterbacks that you referenced in him. Like, I think anyone would notice that. You know, there's a difference right in terms of playmaking for those guys and what those offenses ask of their quarterback versus what the 49ers ask of Jimmy Garoppolo. But within the function of their offense, Jimmy absolutely is a winner, and he has been a very good to great player for the 49ers. There's no denying that. Does he have bad moments? Of course he does. Everybody has bad moments. I mean, Reggie White made mistakes. You know what I mean? Jim Kelly made mistakes. All the greats have made mistakes. You referenced Steve Young coming up short for years. But Jimmy's been a really good to great quarterback for the 49ers. The problem is I just don't know who's going to show up sometimes on a play-to-play basis. And there's certain times where his decision-making can't be overcome because of his lack of ability to throw the ball down the field or to scramble or to make plays down the field.
All right, Chambry and James, hang on tight. We'll get you on the other side. That's what's coming up on the game, brought to you, sponsored by BMW Fairfield. Brian Baldinger, your calls at Brian Baldinger, 7:30. 7:30, that's coming up here. The executive show with Bob Myers coming up at 8:30. We'll get a report on Draymond Green and what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. Also heard that Steph Curry's a full go tonight. He had the right hand scare Friday night against Chicago. Steph Curry will be a full go today against the Detroit Pistons. Don't forget, tickets are available at Warriors.com. Warriors.com. Tickets available for tonight's matchup. Start of a 7-game homestand for the Golden State Warriors. Again, Niners Talk, your calls, Brian Baldinger, you're all brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. They provide a luxurious, all-encompassing experience to address all of your BMW needs. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. That's BMWFairfield.com.
The game's over. So they keep
ball games.
Dak has to get this out of bounds or he's taking a shot to the end zone. This is scary because I would take a shot to the end zone here when they're in the sideline defense because you actually can hold on to the ball. You need someone, San Francisco, to get to the quarterback here.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah, well, they'll be able to clock this. They were planning for it. It's down. Oh, my gosh.
And the official gets in the way. The game's over. The game is over.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Bonte and Shasky.
And that's how it ended Sunday for the Dallas Cowboys. Clock management issues, clock management. They don't get to spike it. Niners win. And you heard Tony Romo there with Jim Nantz on CBS Sports. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. By the way, the BetQL app. Check this out. BetQL helps you make smarter bets throughout the football season, and now we're giving you a chance to win cash prizes. BetQL's Giving Props is a free-to-play contest that starts Wednesday, January 12th, and runs throughout the football season, pro football postseason, I should say. It's easy. Each playoff round, BetQL will post 10 props. The person with the most correct picks each week wins $2,000. Just by signing up, you'll be automatically entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Go to BetQL.com/props to sign up. That's BetQL.com/props. And, of course, that started last Wednesday, January 12th. By the way, let's just go over these over-unders real quick before we get out to the lines. Joe Mixon, over-under 91.5 rushing yards. That did not hit. He only rushed for 48 yards. How about Stephon Diggs? We discussed this one ad nauseum. I was leaning under, didn't go. I went over 6.5 receptions. He only had 3 receptions. Oof. So the under hit. Under, boom, boom. How about this? Tom Brady, over under 294.5 passing yards.
Yeah.
The under, 271 yards. That's 3 straight unders. Deebo Samuel, over under 36.5 rushing yards. Mm-hmm. That went way over. He had 72. Dak Prescott, 2.5 passing touchdowns. Went under. He only threw for 1 touchdown. Travis Kelce, I did like this over, 87.5 receiving yards. He had 108 receiving yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Najee Harris, over under 77.5 rushing yards. He only rushed for 29 yards Sunday.
Wow.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs, 29 yards. Not sure what Cooper Kupp did. I think Cooper Kupp went under, though. I didn't see a lot of Cooper Kupp yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say he went under without knowing that. His over-under was 115.5 receiving yards. I don't think he eclipsed 100 yards. Kyler Murray, 248.5 passing yards. Did not look good. And the Rams Cardinals, of course, the Rams won the game going away. They blow out the Arizona Cardinals, and they'll move on to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's get this Cowboy fan on the line, Shasky. Cowboy fan James in Hayward. I'm glad he's calling. Showing some guts. What's up, James? You're on the roast.
Hey, man, this was my first trip to AT&T. I'm a Cowboys fan. I went for the play. The atmosphere there was crazy. Like, I lost my voice. I ain't going to lie. Niners showed up and held it down. You know, I came in front. It was a good game.
There's no doubt it was a good game, but the atmosphere was incredible. What was your favorite part about the game other than losing and watching your team season end?
Man, honestly, the end. What happened in the end, it sucked, but it was kind of crazy to see them last quarter pick, try to come back. It was just crazy seeing it and having the Niners fans around kind of, you know, throwing jabs, and we're throwing jabs back, but it was all love at the end of the day. It was fun, man. I'm going back next year for sure.
No doubt. Glad you had a good time out there in Dallas, Texas. Shasky, I wish I had you out there, man. A road playoff game in a different state. It's not like it. It's not like going to hostile into a hostile environment. It's nothing like it, man.
So, you know, I'm getting driven to my booster shot yesterday, B, by my father, right? And you got to wait 15 minutes to do all this. So we're driving over there, and he gets a phone call yesterday. And it's from his longtime buddy, John Bologna. And they grew up going to the Niner games. And he was talking about how much he hates the Cowboys and all the different games that they've gone to, Cowboys, Niners. Did you know that my dad left a playoff game early? Can you believe that? My dad left a playoff game early and listen to it on the Muni on the way home as Roger Staubach beat the 49ers in the fourth quarter, coming off the bench for Craig Morton in January of 1973. My dad was 15 years old.
Wow.
And he, to this day, my whole childhood, you never leave the game early. Bonte, I'm sure at times people were thinking of leaving Dallas early because the Niners were up big, but you never leave early because you never know what can happen.
Well, the people behind me who were flipping me off
in
that video, Leah and her husband, they left. They left. They were nowhere to be found in the fourth quarter. They were gone. Two empty seats. I'm looking up at the standing room onlys, and I'm saying, hey, anybody want to? Anybody want to sit down here? Because in Dallas, they don't really check to see where your seats are.
Uh-huh.
They're just asking, oh, you have seats down here? Okay, cool. Like, it is a free-for-all at that stadium. Jerry's World, it's run like a pretty, let me not even go there.
Yeah, but where I'm going is my whole childhood, you never leave until the end. My dad, he goes, they're up 21-6, and, you know, second quarter, we think game's over, they're up 28-13. No one's ever come back from deficits like that when we had to catch the Muni home. So we hopped on the Muni, and they had the little transistor radio, and everybody on the bus is going, no! And that was the onside kick game. And again, Roger Staubach, the legend of him coming off the bench. And whatnot. So I was thinking about you, and my dad goes, you think Bonte's ever left a game early? I'm like, hell no, he ain't left a game early, unless we were broadcasting immediately after.
Have I left a game early? Unless it's a big-time blowout. If it's a big-time blowout, then I'm like, all right, this game's...
Well, like a baseball game on a Wednesday night. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But there's
football?
There's not too many football games.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I can't recall leaving too many football games early, dude. I like to ride it out until the wheels fall off. And then I also like when it's... Even when it's garbage time, I like to see other players who don't get a chance to play. I want to see if they make some plays in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? You spend all that money for a ticket.
Little Rudy Rutter?
Why leave early? What's
little
that?
Rudy Rutiger, like Joe Montana. Yes. Joe Montana was the guy who gets deactivated, and Rudy's the one who gets elevated in that Notre Dame
how
game.
How crazy was that?
Was
how
that
crazy?
Nuts?
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Nor did I. Now, in the Rudy movie, everybody's laying their jerseys down, and they make it this big thing. Joe made it out like they were just joking.
They said Dan Devine, who was coaching the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at the time, he said that did not happen. The jersey's on the table. He was like, it did not happen. That is a complete fabrication. But I did not know Joe Montana was deactivated. By the way, that Montana doc
is incredible.
I told you, they need to just release all of them.
All at once.
All right? I'm tired of waiting week to week for this doc.
My dad's watched each episode five times. And there's only three.
Dude, it is incredible.
It is incredible.
The voiceover by Bill Walsh talking about we're going to pick you apart. We're going to play to perfection. And you see him hitting bobs after bobs.
It's so good.
The 84 Niners don't get talked about enough. No. They were dominant.
Well, and 83, the loss to the Redskins, or excuse me, the Washington football team, I apologize, is one of the worst losses in Niner history in the playoffs, where they were the better team. So, really interesting.
Job.
My favorite part about that, Doc, and we got Baldy joining us in a couple minutes. My favorite part of the Doc is Paul Hackett, the quarterback coach. He is just so hilarious. Why we don't get him on the show, Curly. Write this down. Paul Hackett, 49er quarterback coach in the early 80s. Get him on the show. When Joe Montana hits the 9 button on the phone to call out, and he's going to call his wife.
I just called
to say I love you. And Paul goes, he dialed out and called his wife?
Out.
What? God, that Joe. And he's just shaking his head.
What about playing a game of memory?
Dude,
a memory with his son. And
incredible.
He's like, his memory. But Bill Walsh schooled this guy to where he knew the hot routes.
Unreal.
All the stuff. It was next level.
It's funny that you bring this up because we talk so much about Trey and Jimmy Garoppolo and the quarterback relationship. So back when Steve Young gets traded to the 49ers, he says in his book that Mike Holmgren, who was the offensive coordinator, would send everybody the packet of what the plays are going to be that week.
Right.
Okay, and they get it Wednesday morning. Well, Wednesday morning, Joe had the whole thing memorized because he asked Holmgren to send it to him Tuesday night so that he could be fully prepared and ready to go. And Steve, who's brilliant, I mean, we all agree, Steve Young's a lawyer,
no
he's
doubt.
A very smart guy.
No
he goes, this guy had a memory like I couldn't believe. He memorized every single play, every single hot route from Tuesday night to Wednesday morning. So by the time I got in there, I thought I knew what preparation was. And then I saw Joe Montana prepare, and I realized I don't know what preparation is.
Hey, also, there's a lot of that in the doc. This is why Montana's Montana.
It's
because
best.
He could make this throw.
It's
it's
the best.
Like, it's beautiful.
I love how much he's scrambling. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, like, no, he's scrambling a lot.
In our mind, he's a pocket quarterback. How many of those throws are on the run?
No, he moved around a lot in the pocket, moved a lot on the perimeter, which is why Bill Walsh loved the guy. Let's go to Chambry real quick. Chambry in Arizona, then we'll get the Baldy here coming up. Can't on the wait. Morning Russell 95.7 The Game. What's up, Chambry?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What
man,
up? Good
morning. Man, man, I love this Cowboy lot. How about them Cowboys, Jerry Jones? Man, I just wanted to call in just because I'm so elated, obviously, with the W that we got. But I'm more than happy that I got to eat crow when I thought that this season was over. All the critiquing that we've done from the top down, from John Lynch to the coaching staff to Jimmy G. I mean, can we just show these dudes some love? I mean, like you guys talked about yesterday, the little pieces that they brought in with Omenihu, Willis, some of the other offseason moves.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Shanahan, I've been a big critique of him as well, or a critic of him.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But him holding out Ayuk and challenging him, man, we've seen that dude develop so much this year, and I'm so proud and happy for that
no doubt.
What he's done for us. And most importantly, Coach Ryan's and Coach Chris, the jobs they've done on the defensive line and just defense in general, with guys being out and doing their best and them stepping up. So I love this organization. I love the guys that we got in place holding us down to develop these players. Let's go, Niners. We about to beat these Packers.
Let's go.
No doubt. Thanks for the call, Shane. We're going to break down the Packers a little bit later on as we ramp it up to Saturday night. But now it's time for our main man.
Let's go.
Smartest man in show business. The smartest man in the NFL. Today's John Madden. That's right. I said it. Today's Madden. It's Brian Baldinger coming up on the Morning Roast.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
That's right, baby. Baldy joins us every single Tuesday at 7:30 a.m. during the football season. And boy, did we have some great football last weekend. A wild card weekend, starting off with the Raiders and Bengals. And, of course, the highlight of it all was the Niners going down to Arlington, Texas, and beating the Cowboys in Jerry's World. And I always love, Shasky, when Baldy gets the breakdowns rolling. And the first one that hit me yesterday was when he tweeted at the Niners, said they dressed 9 defensive linemen, and it was a giant buffet eating contest. Everyone got to eat, and this is 2 weeks in a row. Affecting a quarterback is the quickest way to win big games, and that's something we cited all week long. The trenches, and the Niners dominate the trenches, and they hang off for dear life against the Cowboys. Baldy, good morning, man. How you doing, brother?
Bonte, Joe, I'm doing great, and it's good to be with you guys. I know how excited you are about what just happened and what can happen. And so I'm just happy to be a part of the whole thing.
And you are a part of this whole thing. And let's start with that defensive line. We'll get to the quarterback. We'll get to Debo. We'll get to the Cowboys and what happened on the final play there. But this defensive line really set a tone on that first three out of the football game. Getting pressure on Dak. He rolls out to the right. They're in his face. He throws an incompletion on third long. He gets sacked by Nick Bosa. And from there, he just was not in a complete – he was not in the rhythm. At times, yeah, they ran no huddle and they got up and down the football field. But for the most part, even without Nick Bosa in that second half, Baldy, it was a DJ Jones party. It was an Eric Armstead party. Charles Omenihu, he was getting in the backfield. Jordan Willis. This defensive line has really turned it up over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Well, not to get, you know, stat happy right away, but, I mean, they've hit the quarterback 27 times. In the last 2 weeks with 10 sacks. I mean, nobody in this league has got anything near that. 27 hits on the quarterback. And so the first play of the game, Al Shahir, hit Dak, you know, just coming from his linebacker position and knocked him backwards. You know, he floated the ball. You saw how bad he was and just, you know, missing it, receivers and floating it. And you could see how frustrated he was in the pocket. You know, they couldn't get the ball to their star players. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was a non-factor in that game. And so that's what this game is all about. It's about the quarterback and what can you do to the quarterback. And, you know, to see Nick Bosa play 23 snaps before, you know, his head got snapped off. And then to see everybody pick it up. Omenihu goes in there. Jordan Willis goes in there. To see those guys pick it up like you didn't lose, as good a pass rusher as there is in the NFL. That's a credit. That's a credit to D'Amico Ryans and to the staff right now and what they did.
You know, it's tough to tell. B was at the game. I'm at home watching on the television. The pass rush is evident. They don't show you the back end of the secondary, the coverage. But it felt like, to me, on my eyes, it was as good of a cover game from Mosley and Aubrey Thomas and Ward and Tart as we've seen all year. What did the back end of that defense do in that game?
Well, I thought they mixed things up pretty good. You know, and they really, you know, mysteriously, you know, I mean, if you compare, you know, what Dallas does to, like, say, what Cincinnati does. I mean, Cincinnati comes out, and they let you know right away, Jamar Chase is our guy. We're going to him. And for the first six plays, they go to Jamar Chase. But the Cowboys, they don't play football like that for whatever reason. So they didn't really try to isolate any matchups. But, you know, you look at a guy like Emmanuel Mosley. And what he did in that game, I mean, he had 12 tackles in the game. You know, so, you know, whether it was run fits against Ezekiel Elliott, whether it was, you know, their perimeter game on the outside, I mean, he was a big, big factor in that game. And then, you know, they really didn't get challenged that much down the field, you know, and, you know, they kept the penalties down as well. And so that's the other thing that you have to worry about in today's ball game is, it's just the penalties, but I didn't feel like the secondary, you know, was guilty of many infractions.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, joining us as he does every single Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning, breaking down a Niners victory over the Dallas Cowboys. To switch gears and go to the offense. I got to go to Debo Samuel, man. Debo Samuel just continues to impress. At the K.Y. Williams picked that Dak pass off. Debo right away, scampers for 26 yards, division, the cutback lanes, and Baldy, he just continues to set a tone, a physical tone. Nobody wants to tackle him. When he gets in the open field, he puts on the afterburners. What a year Debo's having for the 49ers, and they got to continue to ride him here as they go to the frozen tundra Lambeau Field, Baldy.
And they will. They won't get away from him. I mean, he's too big a part of what they're doing right now in the ways that they do it. You know, I think I heard Kyle say something during the week that, you know, the key number in the whole game was to, you know, be able to run the ball somewhere 33 to 35 times. And I said the same thing. And, you know, they end up running it, you know, 38 times. You know, of course, Debo, you know, he had the most important run of the day. But, you know, you got Debo 10 carries. 10 carries. I mean, nobody could have predicted back in July and August when this team was being put together that you'd get to the first round of the playoffs and Debo would get 10 carries. Nobody. And so, you know, that's where they're at right now. He's just that good. He started the game at tailback form. You know, so like his role has just emerged, and you can see it. It's spreading around the league right now. You know, you see Isaiah McKenzie in Buffalo is playing tailback. They're realizing that these receivers, especially when they're built like Debo, you'd be foolish if you just, okay, we'll throw to them five times a game. We, you know, we'll target them eight. We'll get five. Like, let's get the ball in their hands. You know, and once you realize that they have vision, that they have change of pace, you know, all that kind of stuff, then you got to feed them. And that's what they're doing right now.
And what are you seeing from this offensive line in terms of keeping Jimmy Garoppolo upright? Because it feels like they're playing their best ball of the year. Alex Mack looked like his helmet almost got ripped right off his head on multiple occasions. But yet they're giving this guy a clean pocket. They're creating run holes. And Elijah Mitchell's hitting them.
Well, the run game is huge, you know, so and that's not to slight Jimmy at all. We know what he's dealing with that, you know, with the hand. But, you know, when you can run it 38 times, you're only throwing it 25 times. I mean, they didn't sack him. You know, the whole defense of the Cowboys is built around pressuring the quarterback. I mean, that's what Randy Gregory, Tank Lawrence, Micah Parsons, I mean, that's what they've been doing all year. And they didn't get to Jimmy at all. And so the play action worked. The protection up front was outstanding, and they're not a big max protection team. I mean, they've just, you know, they just kind of line up and block you up, and, you know, and then it's up to, you know, the routes to win and, you know, Ayuk to win on the deep ball, and, you know, and that's what they did. But the offense line was, you know, they played a complete game, just a complete game, and it was fun to watch it because nobody does what the 49ers do in the run game. Nobody can even if you drew it up on a board and said, okay, this is what we do, nobody could do it. Because it's not just the play. It's how it's taught, and then it's how it's pounded into their brains that this is what you got to do. So setting up trap plays with little fakes by the wide receivers, or how the tight end, you know, Kittle and Warner, you know, play with Juice and how Juice cleans things up. I mean, you could draw it up. Nobody's going to execute it the way the 49ers do. And, you know, Micah Parsons is as good a defensive player as there is in this league. And when you watch him catching blocks, you're not going to defeat any run game by catching blocks. But he's catching blocks because he doesn't see Kittle coming at him. And so, like, the angles that they hit you with and how they hit you and the timing that they hit you with, that's what you end up doing. The linebackers end up catching blocks.
Man, what a performance by that offensive line. Elijah Mitchell ran hard, 27 carries, 96 yards.
You mentioned Baldy.
You mentioned Debo, 10 carries, 72 yards. They just ran hard. They ran hard. They would not go down with that first tackle. It was beautiful to see here. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, look, I thought he played very well early on. I thought he set a tone, some big-time third-down throws. One of Juwan Jennings on the sideline, and then things tailed off for him. And now he's dealing with a slight shoulder sprain. So, thumb injury on the right hand, his throwing hand, slight shoulder sprain with this throwing shoulder. I don't really see quarterbacks have much success with shoulder sprains, Baldy. And that can't be, like, is it going to be tough for him to loosen this up in that cold weather in Green Bay? Like, that's got to be difficult to even loosen up.
Yeah, I agree. I have no idea what the weather's going to be like. I don't think
it's 7 degrees,
I have no idea.
7 degrees, Baldy, and the snow could be coming.
It was minus 6 in Buffalo, and Josh Allen didn't make a mistake, and the receivers didn't drop a ball. So, I mean, that's the standard right now, what we saw in Buffalo against the Patriots. I mean, they didn't have one negative play the whole day. So, you know, it's just a mindset. But, look, I have no idea what it's like. Does Jimmy have a 10-pound weight on his thrown arm right now with that, slight shoulder tear or whatever, you know, whatever you want to classify it as. I have no idea. And so I know this. I know if you can't step into your throw and drive a ball, regardless of what the temperature is, it's going to affect how your team plays.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to have to complete the third downs to Jennings, a deep ball to Ayuk. You're going to have to make those throws in this game. You're going to have to, at the end of the game, regardless how well the 49ers play and run the ball, regardless, you're going to be able to, you're going to have to pull out five pass plays that Jimmy made or you know, whoever makes in order to win that game that are just going to be highlight plays. And, you know, it could be the catch, it could be the throw, it could be a combination, but there's going to be five, a minimum of five, that you got to make to beat this Packers team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We've gone long enough. I mean, the big talking on all the major networks yesterday was
right.
the final play, or I guess the final couple of plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Not the 14 penalties, not the physicality of the 49ers, like not all the good stuff that the Niners did and allowing them to come back into the game. Break down the final couple of plays, Baldy, from your perspective.
All right, so they get the ball with 38 seconds to go, you know, at their 20-yard line, and they complete three passes in a row. They go 40 yards, basically in, you know, 18 seconds. So, you know, they're moving. Now, on those three plays, D'Amico Ryan's called a picket line defense where he rushed four and he had seven guys across the back end. And Dallas rightfully, even with the, you know, the catch and flip, you know, they picked up good yards. They got out of bounds in all three of them. And then D'Amico Ryan said, that's enough. And then he changed the defense. And so then he decided to go from a picket line defense to guarding the sidelines with three players on each side. So three on one sideline, three on the other sideline, and then your two safeties, okay, Tart and Ward. And then they rushed four. And so Dallas saw that, and they, I think Dak called the play at the line of scrimmage. Because I don't think he knew what they were going to do. But as soon as he saw that, to Dak's credit and to the Cowboys' credit, they came up with this play. Now, I didn't like the play. I still don't like the play. But, you know, you scramble for 17 yards. Jim Nantz said it as soon as he did it. I don't know about this. And as soon as he did it, I said the same thing. I don't know about this.
We
That's
all
a long ways to go for everything to go right. Now, if you if Dak gets up off the ball and finds, you know, George Ramon, the umpire, and hands it to him, they're going to have a chance to spike it. But not if you give it to your center, and then the center's got to give it to the umpire, and the umpire's got to get through the traffic and spot it. They ran out of time. And so I give D'Amico Ryan's credit because he forced that play by changing up his defense in that situation. So to me, you could talk about how the Cowboys foiled the opportunity, and they did. But at the same time, I want to give D'Amico Ryan's credit for changing that defense and being ready to guard the sidelines and force the Cowboys to either run that play or throw the ball inside where the clock is your enemy.
I'm so glad you're bringing up D'Amico Ryans because me and Bonte throughout this whole year have like just we've been blown away at what we've seen from him. Yeah. His ability to adjust. I mean, he's sending Jimmy Ward on blitzes late in
big
that
blitz.
Game.
I mean, that was just, a big blitz.
It was a huge play. I just love what I've seen from him. And Robert Saleh was a big hole. Like this is a guy that everybody really loved. And how are these two guys different in Robert Saleh's defense versus? I know the personnel's a lot different, but what are you noticing in terms of what makes D'Amico Ryans' defense really good? Not that it's better than Saleh's, but what are the differences between the two of them?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, just the emotional. I mean, you know, Robert Saleh was jumping out of his skin on a sideline. You don't see that from D'Amico Ryans. I mean, he's very calm. Now, it doesn't, not to say that you can't still call a great game when you're just, you know, just freaking out on the sideline sometimes. But you don't see that from D'Amico. But, you know, they've always been, I mean, both of them like to send a fifth rusher. You know, whether it's Kaywan Williams, whether it's Fred Warner fixed into it. You know, the Bosa sack was a twist stunt, you know, off of the linebacker
beautiful.
Right there.
Yeah.
You know, like that, you know, nobody could have – they haven't really shown that twist before. And to get Bosa home like that was, you know, was an important play. But, you know, it's all about – everybody – I think Robert and D'Amico all have kind of the same package of blitzes. It's really just a feel. When to send it, when to do it. And then, you know, to have enough work at it that you can execute it with disguise, with urgency, and with execution. And so that's what it comes down to. But I feel like D'Amico's got a really good touch of when to send. They're never – I've never seen D'Amico just go zero blitz and just send the house. I haven't seen it. They might have done it. I haven't seen a blitz zero from him. So they're very conservative in what they do. I think both of them are. I think Saleh is the same way. I think he's a little more aggressive with the Jets because they were a poor team. But I feel like D'Amico wants to protect the back end and not give up the home run, but still affect the quarterback.
Are they the best defense left?
Well, I think that, the Rams can play great defense. They've got great personnel. So I don't want to say, and the Bucs blitz better than anybody else in the league and blitz more than anybody else in the league. And so Buffalo finished the season ranked number one in the league in defense, but they're without Tre'Davious White. That might show up this weekend against Kansas City. And that's their best defensive player. So, I mean, it's the final eight. Everybody's got a good defense at this point. Are they the best? Right. Well, if they go into Green Bay and beat the best quarterback this week, then they're the best defense.
Well, how are they going to get that done? Week three, Packers win 30-28. It was all about the clock management at the end of the game. That one kind of similar to what happened in this Dallas Cowboys game this past Sunday. But Mason Crosby hits the 51-yard field goal to win the game. They get out to a 17-0 lead. Niners crawl back. Now, if they fall behind 17-0 Saturday, it could be lights out. You don't want to do that up there in Green Bay. But how are the Niners going to battle with Green Bay coming off this bye week? They're humming right now. Devontae Adams is unguardable. Man. Their running game is churning. Jaylen. They're getting guys back defensively. How are the Niners going to do this and pull off the shocker Saturday night in Lambeau Field? What do they have to do to really keep Aaron Rodgers off the spot other than beat him up time to time?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with the 49ers offense. You've got to put, like, to open up the game the way they did against Dallas. I mean, it was huge to go right down the field, execute like that, put 7 points on the board. I mean, that's always a great way to start a game. It lets everybody know you're in it. But, in that first game, week three, I know it's a long, 4 months ago, but, Trey Sermon was their starting back. Kyle Juszczyk ran the ball 5 times in that game. They didn't have the running back. They didn't have Elijah Mitchell. They didn't have Jeffrey Wilson. They didn't have those guys back then. They were trying to cobble a running game together. Brandon Ayuk carried it. George Kittle carried it. They've got a much better tandem right now up front. And so, to me, just like when they beat the Packers 2 years ago in the championship game, look at how they ran the ball against the Packers. And look at how Aaron Rodgers had to play from behind and what that looked like. I mean, to me, if you're a 49er fan, just go back and rewatch that game. And that's what it can look like, even if it's at Lambeau. It doesn't matter. Lock in. Don't let the noise, the atmosphere crush you, the weather, the atmosphere, the noise, all that stuff. Like, lock in and, run the ball the way you're capable of running it. This will be a good football game.
Baldy, what's the coldest game you ever played in?
I played against Buffalo one time. It was 33 below. It was pretty severe. Pretty severe. I announced a game one time in Kansas City. Kansas City and Carolina. Like in the dead of December, and it was 28 below zero. They had one of those northerlies that blew through the plains, 28 below zero in Kansas City. That was pretty rough.
Did you take your shirt
off? Minnesota.
Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, in the stands?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we'd never wear a sleeve, never. I lived in Minnesota and delivered morning newspapers in 50 below zero weather. I know what, deathly cold weather is.
So get
below
ready for that.
To me.
Man. Go ahead, Bobby.
Like the weather's the temperature is the temperature. The key is the wind. The wind is what makes it difficult. The wind affects the throws. The wind affects, you can't hear when it's windy because, you got these little ear holes, and the wind just, it doesn't allow you to hear anything. So that's the key. The cold, I think they'll be just fine. But if it's, 10, if it's above 10, 15 knots blowing, then that really affects the game.
Oh, well, we can't wait. We can't wait to break it down with you next Tuesday. Niners and Packers, it just feels right. We got three rematches here during the divisional round.
Yep.
With the Bucks and Rams, and of course the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs and Niners and Packers. Then you got a good one in Tennessee. Tennessee with the upstart Bengals against the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be great. They say this is the best weekend in all of sports. The divisional round. Who's going to the championship game?
Yeah.
Who's going home? We can't wait to see it. Baldy, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, guys, you bet, man. I can't wait myself.
Love it.
Absolutely. Enjoy. Brian Baldinger bringing the heat every single Tuesday at 7:30 here in the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Big time matchups, breaking it down. It's just starting at the D line. The trenches again, Chasky. I know you can't stand me when I talk about the trenches, man, but that defensive line of the 49ers, they travel. Defense travels. Running games travel. And that's why I feel confident about Saturday against the Green Bay Packers.
Do you think that they currently have the best defense of the remaining teams?
I don't know. It's tough to, you know, I don't know. I mean, they got the best defensive line, I feel like.
Well, right.
They may have the best front seven. As for secondary,
their combination of safeties is kind of underrated, is it not?
It's really good. I mean, it's really good. But look, like Baldy said, it's going to have to start with their offense.
Yeah.
Their offense is going to have to score some points. You know what I'm saying? You can play that bid, but don't break defense. It was impressive to hold down the Cowboys to 17 points, but we knew they were frauds. Mm-hmm. We knew they were frauds. They were feasting on the Eagles. They were feasting on the Washington football team. They were feasting on the Giants. This Green Bay Packers team is a little different. They're a little different.
I just keep going back to Saleh, right? When Saleh's first couple of years, it was bad. Like, it was really bad. They didn't have personnel. Cassius Marsh is their number one pass rusher. I mean, it was ugly. And he had some great years for the Niners. And what he did last year in a COVID year where it felt like no one was healthy, Bosa was out, and they still kind of held serve all year, I thought it was really impressive. In a weird way, I'm more impressed with what D'Amico's done this year. They've had cluster injuries across the board, and they're playing winning football. Not in a game where, like, oh, the other team's just trying not to turn the ball over because they know C.J. Beathard and Mullins are going to lose the game at some point. No, no, they have been in high-pressure games against high-powered offenses, and they've held their own. It is hard to play defense in the modern NFL, and here we are. I look up, and I'm like, how the heck is the strength of the team this defense still with all these injuries? And I think it's a credit to the players, obviously, but also D'Amico.
I mean, Omri Thomas has come on, and we're no longer worried about him.
No.
Honestly, nobody's talking about him anymore, and people are ready to cut him off the football team 2 months ago. 2 months ago, he's ready to be cut off the football team. Now he's playing a vital role in his defense. Dante Johnson playing in spot duty. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Emmanuel Mosley.
K-Wan is huge. K-Wan and Emmanuel Mosley.
Huge.
Dude. K'Wan Williams and Emmanuel Mosley do not get enough credit around
the
league.
I'm with you.
Nobody talks about them
enough. You've been on Emmanuel from day one.
Dude, and I love me some K'Wan. I'm so glad they re-signed K'Wan Williams last season. I think he's one of the best slot corners in all of football now. I know he got beat by Amari Cooper. He'll clean that up, and he did clean it up.
The wide receiver has the advantage.
Yeah, no doubt. So this defense, whether or not they're the best, I don't know. Tennessee may boast about having the best. Buffalo may boast about having the best. Tampa Bay is going to boast about having the best. Hey, you know, whether they're the best or not, they're playing good football right now, Chasky. That's all I know.
Well,
is they're shutting down the running game. Number one, they're shutting down the running game.
Yeah.
That's what great defenses do.
You do
not let them run the football. Sonny Michel, what did he do last two Sundays ago?
Not much.
21 carries, 43 yards. You heard Troy Aikman. You know, the Rams keep trying to run the ball, but they're just not having success. Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, they got bottled up. That's what this team does. And if you bottle up Aaron Jones on Saturday and make the Packers one-dimensional, make them one-dimensional, I like chances of the 49ers this Saturday.
I felt like they stifled the run in the last game against the Green Bay, and it felt to me, again, I'm going to rewatch the game this week, but Aaron Rodgers won two-step drop, and let me just fling it up. And there was a lot of penalties in that game. They were isolating our cornerbacks. They were just recovering from the Verrett injury where they didn't really have any of the young guns ready to go. It was a really bad matchup. And I look at all the different plays where they were just throwing the ball at will downfield. I have a feeling, even though it's going to be, 10 degrees or whatever in Green Bay, they're going to try to employ the exact same strategy.
Right.
I'm also a little worried about A.J. Dillon. I mean, he's a big physical running back that is built for this kind of weather in this type of month of the season. This is why they drafted him.
Yeah, I like the big boys up front for the Niners, but you make some great points there. Aaron Jones in that first game, Shasky, 19 carries, 82 yards, averaged 4.3 yards a pop.
It got out to the lead.
And really the offense opened up because Rodgers was getting the ball out quick, but this is a different 49ers team the Green Bay Packers are facing on Saturday night. Don't forget about the text line. The Comcast Business text line is always open at 888-957-9570. Coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, no compromises. Bob Myers at 8:30 for the executive show. We'll talk to the GM and president of basketball operations of the Golden State Warriors about what's going on. They play the Pistons tonight at 7 o'clock, plus more of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. What injury are you more concerned with, Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder sprain or Draymond Green's disc injury? 888-957-9570. We'll get to that here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.